this week. Revelation chapter 14 this morning. Revelation chapter 14. If you'll turn there with me this morning, please. Revelation chapter 14. This is what God's laid on my heart today. I'm just going to mind the Lord. Revelation 3, and I said 14. I meant Revelation chapter 3. I apologize. My mind's on verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I'll begin reading. When you find it, let's stand together. And I'll read a portion of Scripture, and we'll pray that the Holy Ghost to help us preach today. Revelation 3 and verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Note verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You may be seated this morning. That word in verse 20, that word behold, there means to gaze upon. It means to stand in amazement of, to marvel at. God always takes the initiative when it comes to salvation. In fact, the only salvation that the black back book of the Word of God, the King James Bible, recognizes is God initiative salvation. I believe that we can truthfully say today that this verse here in Revelation 3 and verse 20 could spiritually mean that God, Jesus, is outside the door of men and women, boys and girls' hearts and is knocking and certainly wants to come in and change their lives and save them by His marvelous grace. But the proper interpretation here in this text is found here in verse 22, when it says, the Spirit saith unto the churches. What churches? Well, when you read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you find that Jesus is writing to the seven churches that is found in the province of Asia Minor. And these churches is a panoramic view of all of the church age down through Christendom. And Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, He said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You're aware, and I'm aware this morning, that the church was conceived in the heart of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost before the foundation of the world. The church, according to God's word, has been purchased by the blood of His own Son. And I'm convinced it was birthed, the church, by the Holy Ghost power on the day of Pentecost, and God started there at Pentecost, and down through the years we've come through the church age, and now we're living in the last days of this grace dispensation, and the church has become so full of apathy and apostasy that, my friend, that we realize today that Jesus is on the outside of the door of the church knocking and wanting in. And I believe if Jesus is the head of the church, he wants to be on the inside and not on the outside.
Amen.
Now, what I don't understand is, if he if the church is his church, and it is, my friend, what's he doing on the outside of the church, knocking on the door of the church, according to Revelation 3:20, when he ought to be on the inside in the midst of his people? He said here in chapter 2 and verse 1, he writes unto the church at Ephesus, and he says, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars, that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Now, if I understand the Bible correctly, Jesus desires to be in the midst of his church. And to describe his church, he uses here a candlestick. Now, why did God use a candlestick to describe his church? Well, you know what a candlestick is, don't you? It's an implement, it's an instrument to lift up the light. It's not the light, but it's an instrument and an implement to lift up that light and hold up that light. You know what the church is to be today? We're to be a light and hold that light that it might shine in a sin-cursed, darkened world, that people might see the God whom we love and serve. And my friend, when I was in darkness of sin, God let a church be a witness and a light to me. And my friend, it was because of that that I became saved. We've never lived in the greatest time in the history of the church as we live today. And yet everything in the world is bearing a light but the church. Hollywood has had its trial. And yet the world is doing what they can do. But my friend, religion has had its chance. Politics has had its chance, and it doesn't work. I'm convinced that God wants the church to shine today. It was because of this church that I found out that I was lost, and when I got saved, it was the church that, my friend, that gave me the light to be what I needed to be. I'm convinced that, my friend, when you get saved, you ought to become a church member. You ought to become a Bible-believing, Bible-witnessing, New Testament church member. When I got saved, I learned how to read the Bible and study the Bible. I learned how to live and act and tithe and do the things that a Christian ought to do because of the church. Now, the church has got its problems, but I tell you, friend, my family is better off because of the church. My life is better because of the church. Our future is a lot better because of the church. But I'm glad in my darkest hour, my friend, that some light came shining into my heart, and it was because of the church. In chapter 2 and verse 1 here, he said, "He walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Right smack dab in the middle, he's walking in the midst of the candlestick. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" It means you can sense his presence. You can hear his voice. And you can feel his touch. And you can smell his fragrance. There is a difference between being in the midst and being on the outside. In Revelation 3:20, he's on the outside. He's not in the midst. And when he is in the midst, we can sense him. We can hear him. We can smell him. And my friend, we can realize that he's there. What's happened, my friend, is that we've let him be on the outside when he desires to be on the inside. You say, preacher, what happens when the Lord gets in the midst of our church? Lives will be changed. Hearts will be turned around. The lost to get saved. Those that are in bondage will be set free. And those that are drowning will get rescued. And those that are sick will get healed. And families will be put back together. And lives will be blessed because, why? He's in the midst. We've gotten so cold and calloused and indifferent in our churches that, my friend, the world don't want nothing to do with us. My friend, he said he walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. But at the close, he's not walking in the midst of the churches. He's on the outside. And we're living right down into the last days of the church age. And he's not inside the church, but he's on the outside. And he wants to be in here. My friend, there's no sense of His presence. There's no sense of hearing His voice. And there's no feel of His touch. And you know why? He's on the outside and He's not on the inside. But my question is today, and that's what I want to preach on, what's He doing out there when He ought to be in here? I'm trying to challenge your hearts today. If it's His church, and it is His church, my friend, what's He doing on the outside instead of walking in the midst? Now listen to me. You can't lose your salvation, but you can certainly lose the touch and the joy and the thrill and the closeness of the Lord. There's a time when He was walking in the midst and when He was reviving in the midst and when He's saving in the midst and moving in the midst. But as a whole today, I'm convinced in the majority of churches in this country, the Lord's not in the midst. He's outside wanting to get in, but we won't let Him in. He's not dwelling where He needs to dwell. And my friend, He needs to be in the midst. My friend, I understand there's some reasons why He's not in the midst, and it's found here in these scriptures. Number one, look at chapter 2 and verse 4. The reason He's on the outside of the church in this generation today and knocking is, first of all, in verse 4, chapter 2, they left their first love. Look at it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What does it mean that they had lost or left their first love? They didn't lose it. They left that first love. Well, my friend, they had got over the wonder and the thrill of it all. They had left that first love. I'm glad that 46 years ago, as a little country boy, God showed me of my need of the dying Savior. And my friend, I'm still excited about what Jesus means to me in my heart. I know some today that don't seem to be excited. If they're excited, I would to God they'd stand up and notify their face. Because to look at some of us, we don't seem to be excited about the Lord. You go down to the local ball field in your community and they're excited about their team. There's nothing wrong with getting excited at a ball game. But if we can get excited at a ball game, get excited about the Wildcats of Kentucky, I would to God we'd get excited about Jesus. Amen. In these days. You better thank God that you've got a church that you can come to and hear the Word of God, that you've got a pastor that's excited about the Lord and excited about the Savior and excited about building a church and excited about the name of Jesus and excited about digging wells of spiritual life in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. There's too many today in our churches that's got over the wonder and the thrill and the excitement of it all. And you know what's wrong with us? We've got used to it. We take the Lord too much for granted. I want to love Him, don't you? I want to bless him and I want to praise him. I want him to feel welcome in our midst. But my friend, our problem today is we've taken him for granted. And if we take him for granted and we don't praise him like we ought to praise him, he'll go where they will praise him. Amen. Ever gone somewhere where you didn't feel welcome? I have. I've been places where I didn't feel welcome. I've been some of them twice, my first and my last. I don't want to go back no more.
Amen.
I'm convinced that the Lord's not welcome in a lot of places. My friend, they had left their first love. You know the reason that a lot of marriages don't work? My wife and I celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary last Monday. Our church had a surprise that Sunday for us. We didn't know they'd had it. They went back and got some of them old pictures of mine when I did have hair. And they put them up on a screen. I don't know why my daughter let them have them things. But my friend, the reason a lot of marriages don't work is because they get over the wonder and the thrill of it all. My wife and son-in-law and them were there at the house yesterday, and my wife walked out to the car and I put my arms around her and I kissed her, and my son looked out the door and said, "Quit that there, Daddy, you're getting too old for that." I said, "Shut up and shut the door, it's me and hers, not you. You're not involved in this no more." I still love my wife. You say, if you had what I had, you couldn't love. Well, that's your problem. I still love my wife. I've not got over the wonder and the thrill of it all. You know what's wrong with a lot of marriages? They quit courting. They quit whispering them sweet nothings in their ear. I still whisper sweet nothings in my wife's ear.
Amen.
You say, "What do you tell her?" None of your business.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, my friend. I still send her roses on special days. Now, when we got married, it started out as roses. Then it ended up as diamonds. And now all she wants on Friday is the paycheck. That's what you get into. Amen. Hey, listen. We've got over the wonder and the thrill of it all. Fred and Martha was going down the road in the old T-model truck. And Martha looked over and said, "Fred, we've been married a long time. I wonder why we don't sit close to each other no more." And Fred looked over at her and said, "Well, I ain't moved." We've gotten over the thrill and the wonder of it all. We take each other for granted. I'm here to tell you the greatest love of my life was that day when Jesus, the lover of my soul, looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. I want him to be on the inside and not the outside. They had left their first love. But number two, look at chapter 2 and verse 14. They allowed false doctrine to creep into their congregation. In chapter 2 and verse 14, they had let the doctrine of Balaam be taught to the children of Israel. In fact, the doctrine of Balaam taught Balak to the way to corrupt Israel was to let them intermarry with the Moabites. And so, my friend, because of that, the idolatry and fornication was introduced to the children of Israel. I'm here to tell you, the reason the Lord is on the outside of the church and instead of in the midst of the church is we've let corrupt doctrine creep in to a lot of our churches. My friend, the Lord won't stay around where the truth of the Word of God is not preached. Hey, you say, "Well, there's not many of us here at Grace." You ought to thank God for that. I'd rather have a 50 or 100 that love God and love this book than to have 300 that want to argue and fuss and gripe and bellyache all the time.
Amen.
You ought to thank God for that. A lot of churches have substituted the Word of God for the words of men. My friend, the Bible said in Galatians 1:18, But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, some people says it don't matter what you preach and what you believe. My friend, it does matter what we preach and it does matter what we believe. And I'm here to tell you where the word of God is not preached, the Lord won't be around very long. False doctrine will be preached. God does not attend that kind of church. I thank God. Listen, on my pulpit where I pastor, there's a little plaque. It says, all who preach here will only use King James Bible. That's getting far and few between, by the way. People don't like the Word of God no more. Hey, listen. The church is not a civic club or some entity, but we're a lighthouse for God. And Paul said we're to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. What's he doing out there? I'll tell you why. Because we've left our first love, and my friend, we've allowed false doctrine to creep into our churches. Churches no more don't want to stand on the virgin birth and the blood of atonement and the vicarious sufferings of our Savior. My friend, those things are important.
Amen.
Thirdly, we've embraced dead religion. Look in chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm preaching on what's he doing out there. Well, we've left our first love. We've allowed false doctrine to creep in. But thirdly, we've embraced dead religion. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou had a name that livest and art dead. What's sad today is that in a lot of churches, we're dead and dry and we're dragging along. We're not excited about our Savior. We're cold and we're calloused and we're conceited. I'm here to tell you, folks, God saved us. He brought us from death unto life. There's life in the child of God. Listen, when God saved me, He brought me to life. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. If you'll look over here this morning at that pot sitting on that pedestal. Now, I don't know if that's flowers or just an arrangement of leaves, but I do know one thing. When you look at that, my friend, you can smell it, and there's no fragrance there. I mean, it's pretty, it looks good, but you know what's wrong with it? You can get it, and you can squeeze it, and there won't be no juice come out of it. You know why? Because if something's got juice in it, juice is a sap. And where there's sap, there's life.
Amen.
I know a lot of folks is just like that plant. They look good. My friend, but if you squeeze them, there ain't no juice in there.
Amen.
There's no sap. Because there's no life. You see, if there's life in a plant, you can smell it. There's something there. My friend, the sad fact of the matter is we've got churches today. Listen, when you go, you can't feel anything. Listen, when we go to church and the real thing starts happening, my friend, it'll feel right, it'll smell right. And my friend, if you've got some Holy Ghost juice in there, my friend, you'll know that there's life in that church. Amen. You know, you can take that pot of arrangement there and you can go out and get the real flower and bring it in and set it right beside of it, they'll both look just alike. But you know the difference is, you can smell that one, but there's no smell. You can squeeze that one, there's no juice, there's no sap, there's no life. But if the identical one sitting beside of it, it's real. It's got to have water, it's got to have sunshine, and you can smell it. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? My friend, they only come to church on Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. There's no life in them. That's what's wrong with them. They've embraced dead religion. Dead things praise not the Lord, David said in Psalm 115 and verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord. My friend, we need more than dead religion. We need life. And my friend, we need something that's got life in it. God's not dead. The Bible's not dead. Jesus is not dead. The blood's not dead. God's still alive and God's still real. Number four, look in chapter 3 and verse 17. They were intoxicated with material wealth. Verse 17 of Revelation 3. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Today, churches have lost their vision. The heartbeat of God has dwindled away. Listen, the heartbeat of the church is not my preaching. The heartbeat of the church is people getting saved.
Yes.
My friend, there's hope for the church. How can there be any hope when he's standing on the outside? Well, look at verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's hope for the church. Why? Because he's knocking. It may look dark and it may look blimp and it may look grim. It may even look bad. But at least the Bible said he's knocking. If he's knocking, it means two things. My friend, he wants our attention and he wants to come in and be in the midst of his church. If somebody's knocking at your door, it means somebody's wanting your attention and they might want to come in and fellowship with you. Thank God he's still knocking. It'd be a terrible thing if he was standing at the door and walking away. But the Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm glad he's still knocking. I know we're living in a good time, but we're living in a sad time because as a church, he wants to be in the midst of the church. He wants his rightful position. He wants our attention and he wants to invade into our lives. Notice proposition. He said here in verse 20, if any man hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. Two things we can do. We can hear his voice. Are we listening today? We need to be listening. We need to search our hearts and find out, where is the Lord? Is he knocking, wanting on the inside to have the place of preeminence in our lives? So many families I've noticed through the years, they just give God one service on Sunday morning and you don't see them back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They just want enough of religion to bug them, but not enough Jesus to bless them. I want you to know, listen, he don't want to be on the outside. He wants to be on the inside of our heart and he wants to have that place of preeminence. That word sup, he said, if any man hear his voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with him. That word sup means he gets on one end of the saucer and you can get on the other end of the saucer and it'll run off the corners of your chin. I can still remember my grandpa on my daddy's side, him and Mama, my grandmother. They would drink coffee and they would pour it in a teacup and they'd pour it in the saucer and they'd pick the saucer up and that fellow wrote that song, I'm drinking from my saucer cause my cup has overflowed. And I can still hear my grandpa and grandmother sipping that coffee out of that saucer. You know what Jesus wants to do? I believe that, my friend, he wants to let us sip from the saucer because our cup has overflowed. My friend, if we're going to see the church, my friend, have the place that it needs to be and let being Jesus in the midst, we're going to have to open the door and let him come in. He's still knocking. He'll come and he'll fellowship with us. And I'd like to open the door today to you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Where's he at in your life? What's he mean to you? Do you love him more than you love anything else? I love him. Nobody cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever died for me and shed his blood but Jesus. It's sad today to look at churches and think he's not in the midst, he's on the outside. What's he doing out there? I'll tell you why he's out there. We've left our first love. We've let false doctrine creep into the church today in this church age. We're all wrapped up in material wealth. We're more excited about gaining the things of the world than we are getting the spiritual approval of our Savior and be what he wants us to be in this world. Where's he at in your life today? Is he in your heart where he needs to be? Does he do what he needs to do in your heart and your life? Are you bearing a witness for him? When you run into people, do you share your testimony and witness for your Savior? You say, I just can't do it. Well, it's a funny thing, we can talk about everything else, but we don't want to talk about our Savior. Where's he at? Let's stand to our feet.